We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, and we want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. By the way, it's WMIE 91.5 FM. If you're listening at 10:30, it's WWBC 1510 AM, and you may be getting it on some other frequencies throughout the county just to enhance your reception of the program. And so if you get a chance, why don't you give the radio station a call, 632-1000, and let them know how much you appreciate them keeping Christian radio on the air. It'll be another couple of months before they have a Share-a-thon type event. And so if you get a chance, why don't you give them a call and encourage them, leave them a message and say, we want to thank you for having Christian radio on here in Central Brevard County. So we want to say thank you today to Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284. Bill Andriak, he's been doing air conditioning and heating work for a long, long time. And if you're here in the central part of the county and, you know, maybe with the recent cold blast that we had or the heat that will be coming in an all too short order, if you're having problems with your air handling equipment, why don't you give him a call and he will come out and get you up and running and prepared for whatever weather comes our way. So his number once again is 759-3284, 759-3284. So here we are on Wednesday. We're halfway through our journey this week. We've been talking about Abram and Genesis chapter 12. And so let's return to that chapter today. And verse number 4 is where we're going to begin. And it said, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. So Abram has been given this mandate by God to begin this journey to a land that God would show him. He said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Here's the part that is really, really good. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And I just want to encourage you today that the words that God speaks to us, they are more than our entertainment pleasure. They are our marching orders. They are our directions. When God speaks to us, he speaks to us in a manner in which he wants us to behave and to act. And so I encourage you today that when God asks you to do something, when he tells you to do something, do it. May you create a culture of obedience. And so that's one of the things that we want to talk about here in our discussion of Abraham's, is the type of culture that he created. And so he launches onto this journey and he begins this culture of divine obedience. And you know, there are some people that if you tell them what to do, they're going to do exactly the opposite. And, you know, I just really have not found that to be a productive way to live. I have found that I would rather go to sleep at night with a clear conscience, having followed the Lord and been obedient to the Lord, than I would to be disobedient, because the scripture says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. I don't need any of that manipulation and control. I don't need any excess demonic activity in my life. I want to have the Spirit of the living God moving in my life, and the only demonic activity is him standing in opposition to the things of God, being defeated, and then being on the run. That's the only demonic activity that I want to see. I don't want to give him a toehold. I don't want to give him a foothold. I don't want to give him the whole thing. You know, somebody said if you give him an inch, he'll think he's the ruler. I don't want to give him any access points. Guard your eyes, guard your ears. May your eyes be obedient. May your ears be obedient. May your hands be obedient. May your heart be obedient. May your mind be obedient to the things of God. And may your feet always stay on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I encourage you today to follow Abram's example and say, you know what? You have told me to do this, and I am going to do it. And one of the things that I like to point out, it says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And one of the things that we tend to do when we are reading scripture is we tend to substitute words and think that they are synonyms without fully appreciating the full scope of the meaning of the word. So most people, when they read this, so Abram departed as God had spoken to him. That would be the way that they would look at it. It doesn't say that. It says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And so I ask you today, does Jesus have sovereign authority over your life? Is he your Lord? Because Lord does not mean Savior. Those are different means or different avenues in which he displays his divinity. One is he redeems us from our sin. The other is he empowers us and leads us in the paths of righteousness. And so I want to ask you, does God have the authority to speak definitively into your life in such a manner that you will walk in obedience? Because God's voice should be the ultimate say. You know, we Christians are fond of saying, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Actually, God said it, that settles it, is the better way of looking at that. But when God speaks, he never does anything on accident. He always does things on purpose. He is very deliberative in his actions. And so when the Lord spoke to Abram, Abram obeyed. He set the tone. He set a culture of obedience. So there's another mindset here in America, and that is, do as I say, not as I do. When in actuality, if you are demanding obedience from your children, and yet you are living in disobedience, they are thoroughly confused. If you are insisting on them recognizing your parental authority, and at the same time, you are failing to recognize and walk by the Lord's authority, there is spiritual confusion that is being bred in the house. And we don't want that, because here's the thing. Whenever there is that going on in the house, your kids more than likely are going to have whenever there's confusion like that, they are generally going to have a lower threshold of divine activity in their life than a higher threshold. We want to set the stage. We want to create a culture where God is able to do more in the next generation than he was able to do in ours. We want to set the stage where Elisha can come on the stage and do twice as many miracles as what Elijah did. At least that's what I want. I want my kids to make twice the impact for the kingdom that I have. I want them to know the word twice as well as I do. I want them to be twice the worshipers, twice the evangelist, twice the gifted of God. And you know what? My kids, they have their own unique gift sets, each and every one of them slightly different, but they utilize them for the kingdom of God. So does God have that same authority that he can speak and you say, yes, Lord? You see, Peter, at one point in time, he said, "Not so, Lord, this shall not be." And whenever you say no to the Lord, you are actually creating a word paradox there. You cannot say no, Lord, because the moment that you say no to the Lord, you have dethroned him and you have put your own authority and your own self upon the throne. You've dethroned him and enthroned yourself. So we need to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And I will resist the urge to break into a chorus of yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. So we need for our yes to be yes and our no to be no. And we need to say yes to God. We need to say no to the devil. And we need to begin. When God says begin the journey, we need to begin the journey. And so Abram gathers up his family. He has Sarai. He has his nephew Lot and all their possessions. And it says here that it says in the people whom they had acquired inherited. So this was not a poor man. A lot of people think that God wants to keep you poor. Not necessarily the case. The secret is being content. The secret is being obedient. And here's what I have found in companies that I worked for. If you were really good at your job, they would give you more responsibility. They would give you more reward. They would continue to increase. As long as you demonstrated faithfulness, they were going to make sure that you had more. God is much the same way. He says, you know, if you are faithful in little, I will make you faithful over much. He is not interested in keeping you poor. He wants to keep you rich. And with that being said, I will just tell you that I believe that God has a plan for your life that will result in his kingdom being built and all your needs being met, and then you being equipped to be a blessing to others. So he gathers up everything that's going to make the journey, and it says, so they came to the land of Canaan. And I'll just skip down to the end of the verse, and it said, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Whenever you arrive at your destination, you may think that it's going to be all pristine. You may think that the stage is all set, that you're just going to walk in and the keys are going to be handed to you and that's all. But Abram gets there, and it says the Canaanites were then in the land. And so he gets to his destination and finds that there's somebody already there. And so I just want to encourage you, Abraham also creates a culture of faith. And a culture of faith is not intimidated by present day realities. It doesn't necessarily deny that they are there. The Canaanites were actually living there. But what it does say is, what currently exists does not line up with what God has promised me. And so therefore I'm going to cling to what God promised me. And the present reality may stay today and it may stay tomorrow, but there is coming a day when present day reality is going to give way to future promise fulfillment. That's what faith says. God calls things that were not as though they are. And so when God says, you know, this is the place, and you say, well, you haven't got to that point yet. Verse number 7, it says, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Okay? Just a small point of order. Abram was 75 when he left, and he had no kids. And so God now comes to him and tells him, he said, you're in the right place, and to your descendants I am going to give this land. To your descendants I will give this land. And I don't know about you, but whenever somebody blesses my kids, they have blessed me. They have blessed me. 13 and a half years ago, we were celebrating our 50th anniversary at the church. Not that I've been there 50 years. It was the church's 50th anniversary. Just wanted to clear that up. Not that old. That would make me 65. Not that old. Not, that would have meant I started pastoring the church when I was born. So, you know, we don't want to go there. Anyway, the church's 50th anniversary, and we, the Imperials. Now, the Imperials were a very popular singing group back when I was a teenager. They were filling up auditoriums. They were just, they had started out going and ministering to churches, and then they ended up, I remember seeing them for the first time at a youth rally as a teenager, and then the next time I saw them, they were filling up some of the largest arenas in the city. And when they showed up at our 50th anniversary, they called and said, "Hey, we'd like to come to Merit Assembly of God." And it's like, well, do you all know how the size of Merit Assembly of God? Do you have any idea what our size is? And they said, "We don't care what your size is. We would like to come, and we'd like to be a blessing." And so they agreed to come for our anniversary. Drove all night to get to us, and they sang. My son, he didn't even have his driver's license at that point in time, but he was a pretty good sized kid, and he was there helping. And because they had driven so late, they ended up be running late the next morning with their sound checks and everything like that. And so one of them came to my son and they said, would you drive down to McDonald's and would you pick us up some breakfast real quick? And my son said, "No, I can't do that." And they said, "Well, why not?" And he said, "Well, 'cause I don't have my driver's license." And then they looked at him and said, "You don't have your, how old are you?" And he said, "Well, not old enough to even drive yet." And so, but he helped them out a whole bunch, and he got to hang out with some people that I had grown up with, and just had a really, really great weekend. They sang a couple of songs in our morning service. They came and did a concert that night, prayed for people for healing, shared testimonies. It was just a really powerful service. And afterwards, then they had to load up everything, and they went to my son and they said, "You know, can you all follow us to Walmart? And we need to pick some stuff up at Walmart." And so we showed them how to get to Walmart. We sat in we parked our vehicle. They parked their bus, and they said, "Hey, you know, come on in the store with us." They said that to my son, and they went in there, and even though they really did not get a large honorarium, I mean, we gave them, you know, what they asked for, but it wasn't a whole lot of money. And they took my son in, and they bought him his own game system. Now, we had just moved to our house not too many years before this, you know, not quite 3 years before. And so my kids had never grown up with a lot of the cutting edge technology stuff that many of the other kids had. And so they took my son into the store, and they came out and they'd bought him a game console and games. And they said, "We just appreciate your help so much today that we wanted to leave you a little something to remember us by." And I want you to know that when they blessed my son, they blessed me in ways that they will never know. And they, you know, the Imperials came back to our church one other time. And then Armin Morales has been to our church a couple of times and shared his testimony and his wife's testimony of healing. But that first day that I had ever met them in person, later on we had them over to our house. Even, you know, they came in early and came over to our house to watch some television. My wife, you know, made some snack food and everything. I tell you what, it was so encouraging to know that these people who have fame that you would think would give them just this really inflated ego and everything, but instead they were just down to earth, very real people who love Jesus. They blessed my kids. And so when God says to your descendants, I'm going to give this land, I believe that Abram was really blessed as well. And the other thing I wanted to point out was that this was Abram started this journey because God appeared to him and said in Haran, hey, it's time to get up. It's time to move forward. It's time to leave some things behind. It is time to press on to the promised land that I have to show you. And then when he gets to the promised land, God says, I told you I would show it to you. Here it is. Here's the point that I want to share. God is with you at the beginning. God is with you on the journey, and God will meet you there when he gets you to the place that he has prepared for you. You know, it says in the Gospel of John, let me turn over there just a moment. Turning, silence on the radio, never a really good thing. He says in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus here gives a promise, not just to the disciples, but to all of us, that he is preparing a place for us. Whether it's mansions or dwellings or rooms, whatever translation your word has there, or whatever word your translation has for, I tell you what, I believe that God is preparing a place for us that is beyond compare with the most glorious or luxurious accommodations that this world has to offer. But I'm here to declare that I don't care what my room looks like or what my heavenly mansion looks like. I don't care. I really don't. The only thing that I really care about in heaven is the fact that Jesus is there. And he said, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I want to ask you today, do you have the same intense longing just to be with Jesus as he has for you? Because it's what moves him. It's what prompts him to act. It is what he is doing right now. He is preparing a place where you and I get to fellowship and worship him forever. He is working beyond our ability to understand to make sure that the place is compatible and suitable for us to be with him forever. You see, Jesus came to make the journey possible, and he's coming to make the eternity possible as well. So I just want to encourage you. Thomas said, we don't know how to get there. We don't know how to get there. You know, the strange thing about not knowing where you're going is you most certainly do not know the destination. There are some people who go through life and they have no goals. They have no dreams. They have no desires. They just want to get up every morning and they want to do their thing. Whatever they want to do, that's what they're going to do for the day. And they give no thought to the future. They give no thought to what God's purpose for them is. And as a result, they have no drive and no desire. I had a gentleman that was my worship leader many, many years ago. He was a part-time electrician he was a full-time electrician and part-time worship leader. And one day the people that he was working with said, so tell us about Pastor Bob. And the one word that he used to describe me was driven. And you know, for 23 years, my drive has been the same thing, that people would get to know this wonderful Savior and Lord named Jesus Christ. It's why I work as hard as I do. There are people who tease me about the busyness of my schedule, and my schedule is pretty full. I'm not bored. Let's put it that way. I'm not bored. And I want you to know that Jesus says, you know what? If you do not know the way, then you've not been paying attention. So let me tell you what he goes on to say. He said, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is only one access port. There is only one door. There is only one way to have your sins forgiven. There is only one name that is above every name, and that is the name of Jesus. There is only one person who shed his blood to forgive you of your sins and me of my sins, and his name is Jesus. There's no other way to heaven. You cannot inherit your way there. You cannot buy your way there, work your way there, think your way there, or be famous enough to get there on your own. It is only when you bow your knee and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and confess that he is your Lord that all of a sudden the door of heaven opens to you. Please do not miss heaven. Don't miss it for the world. It's a place that God has been preparing especially for you to have a relationship with the Father for all of eternity. And so Abram found him at the beginning of his journey. He found him at the end of his journey, and he found a place where he could build an altar to the name of the Lord between Bethel and Ai. And I pray that this week you would have an altar to the Lord where you stay in constant communication with him. Make sure you find time to pray. A friend of mine posted the other day, I am too busy not to pray. I'm too busy not to pray. We want to take just a moment and invite you out to our vintage service. It'll be today at 11 a.m., 165 North Grove Street. Come, you'll get to hear me sing. You'll get to hear me preach. You'll get to participate in prayer. You'll get to see God answer prayer. We'll see you today at 11 a.m., Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.